Now we're really honored to be joined by a great, great actor. You've seen him so often. He's done such great stuff. We're joined by one of the stars of CBS's hit show, Madam Secretary, Jeffrey Aaron. Jeffrey, how are you this fine evening?
Very good. Very good. Thanks for having me.
No, good to have you on Bill Live Radio. I want to ask you, because we get these political dramas, and I love them. I do. I really love them. But they're like West Wing and Madam Secretary. Yeah. It gives us this real fantasy view of Washington where it's populated by accomplished people and, you know, people with ideas. And I almost think that in certain times, like with West Wing, we're kind of drawn into this kind of alternate kind of presidency, not what we got at the time. How do you reconcile that? How do you pivot back and forth? You're on set, you're reading these great scripts, you're getting contact in touch with developing these awesome characters, and then you look at your phone or you see something on Twitter. What's that gap between real politics and the politics we kind of stylize on our TV shows?
Well, when we started out, we were, you know, I mean, while we're kind of an aspirational show, and I guess we could be seen through the lens of It's a Wonderful Life type, you know, look at the world, or opposed to Washington. We thought we were accurately representing government, you know, on some level. And in some part of our history. And when, you know, but it changed over to Trump and his ilk, it became like, whoa, we're really like, this is a fantasy.
Yes.
Now. we're all functioning so well right now, pretending to do everything that they can't even pretend to do. You know, it's a strange world. It's depressing.
Well, everybody in your cast is still employed after all the, I mean, there's like no turnover.
Yeah, we shut down the government, but only like shut down for a day.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, only as a plot device.
Yes. Well, that's a Trumpian move. Like just the 3 hours of shutdown, just now, to make a point.
I have to ask you, Jeffrey, were you a big political kind of junkie before you got this show, or were you, nothing wrong with it, you were just not that politically kind of engaged, and so did this open up kind of a view of real world politics for you? How did that all fit together?
I grew up in New York. I grew up in Queens, New York. So it's like, you know, at the dinner table, opinions are always, you know, spoken and heard. And I grew up in a multicultural house. So everybody always had their view, and everybody was recounting their takeaways from what they saw on the news that day. And at an early age, I was like a member of the Junior States of America, which are like a bunch of kids that go to Washington.
I was part of that. I was part of the Junior States of America.
Philip here in the studio was a proud card-carrying member.
Went to Stanford Summer School, L.A. Symposium.
Yeah. I went to the summer school in Georgetown. I had a great time. And, you know, and I started a chapter in my high school, which was like an arts high school.
Wow.
So we really didn't have that many people.
So you did the speech and debate part of the things, the spring states and things like that, too?
I'm sorry?
You did the spring states at the hotels and
all those great activities.
And getting to, like, talk to lawmakers and ask questions. And I'm always being like, oh, here's a kid. And then you get to be like, so what's the deal with Social Security? Why aren't we privatizing? Yeah, and they're like, what'd you say?
Now, I've got to say, I love Madam Secretary. I actually DVR like three shows, and Madam Secretary is one of them. I thoroughly enjoy Madam Secretary, and I very much identify with your character, because like your character, I work in an office building full of people. I'm the only former English major anywhere. I'm the only one. I'm the one who has to communicate for everybody else to the outside world. So I get that speech making sort of role.
It's an interesting, I mean, there's an interesting lineage to it. There's so much policy that goes into speech making, so much direction of policy that goes into speech making. I mean, it's just, it's crazy how much power. I think that's what happened when we got the show and we got a year into it, and we were discovering, like, at this level, how much change can be affected by, you know, regular human beings just trying their best. And I guess that's also why people really like watching it now, because it's just like a clown car on fire.
Yeah. Exactly. And you don't really look for like big speeches or I'm going to have to get a copy of this speech and read it when you hear what our president says now. It's a tweet. Yes. It's just the tweet.
Well, and it punctuates it just rambling conversation.
Very strange. It's very strange that the words used to be, you know, spoken by the president, and then if they were truly poignant, enshrined in marble.
Yeah.
And now it's like, can any of what Trump has said ever be enshrined in marble? You know,
maybe for the Trump memorial, they'll have like his 10 greatest tweets.
Right. Yeah,
they'll
have I'm talking about the Trump library.
Yeah, the Trump library will only be tweets.
I think the Covfefe line needs to be enshrined in marble somewhere.
That's
a memorable one.
Now I want to move on, Jeffrey, because you're working on a really, really great project. It's a play called Disgraced. I saw it several years ago. I love it. It's an incredibly powerful piece of drama. Could you tell our audience a little bit about the play and a little bit about your role in the play?
Sure. The play is about a Pakistani American attorney who's thriving as a lawyer in America. It's like 10 years. It's like 2013 and 2012. You know, after 9/11, and he's thriving this world. I wouldn't say he's living openly as a Pakistani American. I think he's trying to pass off that he's actually from India for most of the play. But like he's struggling with feeling shame and pent up rage at always feeling like an outsider in his own culture because he's living in America and in America because he's the only Pakistani in his law firm. And it's a small play. There's five characters, and I play a character named Isaac, who is the art director at the Whitney Museum, and Amir Kapoor is the Pakistani American attorney, and his wife is an artist, and that's how I'm drawn into their story. But it's a very interesting and very difficult, you know, kind of play to wrap your mind around, and after it reverberates with you. I guess I don't want to say difficult. It just reverberates with you. It makes you think for a while after reading it, after seeing it.
Now, there's some amazing interactions there, and it really, you know, we've talked earlier in this show about race, and there's so many issues that we're all wrestling with in this country about kind of racial identity and self-identification and how that mediates with the people we're around. A lot of big issues in our life, and this play just cracks it. Just absolutely is able to pull
so many specific complicated backgrounds, and watching it, you know, it's still playing with universal themes. It's the kind of production, and they won the Pulitzer in 2013, I think.
Yes.
But it's the kind of play that needs to be heard so that, you know, people can expand their own viewpoints on what it means to be the other or another race. You know, it's like, it's not a singular white viewpoint. It's this very specific viewpoint that's dealing with the same things that we all deal with.
Now I've got to ask you the details for our audience, where, what, how.
Oh, it's okay. So we're doing it this week, at LA Theater Works. We're presenting it at UCLA. We do this, LATW does this great thing. They do radio theater performances. And I grew up listening, my dad made me listen to like the Orson Welles Mercury.
Oh, good.
I love it. So cool.
Oh, I grew up with that stuff.
And like having like podcasts come back and really like, you know, hit this boiling point in our country is kind of cool too, because it's really bringing back the nature of radio. And I really enjoy doing these radio theater performances. We do like 5 live ones. We have a Foley artist on stage doing all the sound effects.
Coconut shells.
yeah, totally.
Miniature flaming doors.
Yeah, exactly.
Shoes. That's hilarious. Shoes. Hands in your shoes.
Yeah, hands in shoes. The whole thing, like chewing on carrots. Like we did a Hounds of the Baskervilles a couple years ago, and it was all that stuff. Gunshots. You know, there will be a gunshot during the performance.
You have to write
for it.
You have to write a horse into the script to make sure you use those coconut shells.
Totally. But it's a really fun evening. We do it 5 times, but then you get to see, I think they're going to, they put it on the actual radio, and then you get it broadcast around the world. And it's on iTunes, and you can get tickets at latw.org. But it's a fun experience. You sit there, close your eyes, and you do get transported. And this is a play that it's going to be pretty tense.
Okay, yeah. Well, we approve of UCLA around here.
UCLA,
and we
go Bruins. Go Bruins. I want to thank you so much, Jeffrey Arend, star of CBS's Madame Secretary. Thank you so much for being on The Bigger Picture.
Thanks for having us. It's a pleasure talking to you guys.